to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, daughter Emily in studio with us today. And today we want to take a fast-forward trip into the future. Now, as it turns out, we were able to catch a few snippets from a radio broadcast in the year 2015. Yeah, you got that right. 2015. Now, don't ask us how we did this, but we were able to pull down a radio broadcast from the year 2015. Just a few snippets, folks. Here we go. Listen to this radio broadcast from the year 2015.
Has Grandpa lost his continence, his economic viability? Has he used up all the quality of his life? Are you looking for a good gift for your Grandpa this Christmas? Are you looking for a long-term solution for your elderly parents? Put an end to it today. An end to all the suffering. Give your grandpa the gift of the Grandpanator, a new pill just approved by the FDA. You know, the best part is that the Grandpanator works just within 14 hours, giving a quick and painless exit for grandparents and other elderly relatives, and it only takes one dose. This is endorsed by the Social Security Administration and the Federal Health Services Department. The Grandpanator is a landmark in human drugs. Put an end to all the suffering today. Give the gift of love to your family, to Grandpa, and to your society. Get the Grandpanator for Christmas this year. Call 1-800-NICE-EXIT now. That's 1-800-NICE-EXIT.
Tell your Grandpa he's the best. Send him to eternal rest. The Grandpanator.
We've been praying for him for a long time.
I believe so, bro.
Está hablando la oficina de coalición de familia.
Welcome back to NPR. In other news, a Los Angeles County school teacher is on temporary suspension for referring to his class of 8-year-olds as, quote, "you little bastards." He has registered his protest with the school district office, stating that, in fact, technically, every one of his 25 students are bastards. Bastards as defined as children conceived and born out of wedlock. School district officials told the media today that the children's caretakers were not bothered by the reference to bastards, but had registered concern over his reference to little bastards, which was, quote, "devastating to the children's self-esteem."
Correcto, mire, estoy revisando el número porque le estoy hablando de una emisora de radio y tenemos un programa en donde...
La persona debe tomar este paso para llegar...
Senator Robert Steele is a Democrat from Colorado Senate District 45. He's now entering his comments on SB 1311.
It's for the children. I tell you, it's for the children. Like, just yesterday, I was talking to one of my constituents in my office, and her 10-year-old daughter had no access whatsoever to a home computer. We must fund this bill to...
Senator, this is not the Education Committee. I think you're referring to SB 430. That's the funding of home computers for low-income families. Senator, this is the Judicial Committee hearing Senate Bill 1311.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chairwoman. Oh, yes, it is SB 1311. That's the bill for 30th trimester's abortion. Well, let me say this. We must support this bill, too. Every child a wanted child, so I always said. Do you know the number of 10-year-old kids that are unwanted? It's a quality of life issue. Besides, medical doctors and child development experts, they're quite clear on this one. Children are not fully developed and economically viable until they're at least 20 years old. Yes, at 20 years old. If you want to abort it before that, I say go ahead.
Oh, look, a plane in the prayer.
Now, I know this is going to be controversial, but I'm going to say it. In this church, we take a firm stand against child molestation. And if you disagree with us on this, there's a lot of disagreement on the textual basis for this in God's Word. And we're not here to put all kinds of legalistic burdens on you. You know, grace. Grace covers us. It's all grace. Brothers, it's grace. Grace. Grace.
David, is that all? Is that all you got there?
Yeah, it turns out in the future, batteries aren't any better than they are today. We're out of juice.
Okay. All right, folks, a radio broadcast from the year 2015. You heard it first on Generations. And, Dave, I think we need to admit right away, tongue-in-cheek, folks, a little satire on this issue of Generations. Every time we do this sort of thing, we get an email from somebody who says, I can't believe this stuff is happening. No, it's just satire, guys. But here's what's funny, Dave, is that it's really hard to stay ahead of reality with our satire pieces. The minute you think you've got some kind of a satirical impression of what's going on today, and you know, project it into the future, somebody comes out and they think it's a great idea, and they're doing that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody working on the Grampinator right now.
I'm sure they are. Getting FDA approval will be a little tough. They'll have to think that one through a little harder, though.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a brave new world out there, a fast-changing world. You think this stuff could never happen by the year 2015? Hey, in the 1970s, they weren't talking homosexuality and sodomy in the public schools. Today, it's pretty much accepted behavior. It's being taught everywhere. We had very few homosexual radio programs or TV programs aired in the 1960s and 70s, if any. Today, they're all over the place. We have a common acceptance of what we used to call the abomination of homosexuality. It is a brave new world. Things are changing quickly. We are in a tornado, my friends. Things are changing fast. And my question for everybody listening right now is this. Buckle your seatbelts. Are you ready for it? We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for calling the Kevin Swanson Yellow Bellied Blogger Hotline. We're sorry, we aren't able to answer your call right now. Your complaint is very important to us, so please listen carefully to the following options, as our menu options have changed. To complain about the Generations radio program, please press 1 now. To grumble about Christian Home Educators of Colorado, please press 2 now. To slander Kevin Swanson personally, press 3 now. To spread general libel about Kevin Swanson's ministry, please post your venomous remarks at kevinswanson.com/forum. If you'd like to slander Kevin Swanson's wife, his elders, or the Church of Jesus Christ, please leave your comments after the tone, but before the beep.
Back on Generations, and folks, today we want to talk about the hurricane of change that is happening right now in the present generation. If you're not ready for this, my friends, you're going to be swept away in the tornado, and your children will too. And Dave, that's one of the reasons why we're in the studio day in and day out. We care about our children, the next generation, and we need to protect our children. What we want to do today, my friends, is analyze the trends and then talk about what we need to do about it. Now, here's what happens, Dave. As Christians, they wind up moving along with the flow of the culture. The Christians who tolerated minced oaths in the 1950s are tolerating swearing today. Those who tolerate fornication today are going to be tolerating homosexuality in 20 years from now. And those Christians that tolerate abortifacient birth control pills, that is, birth control pills that abort the baby, will be tolerating euthanasia in 20, 30 years from now. It's a slippery slope, Dave. This is the direction that Christians tend to go. I just got my assistant Chad brought a summary of a recent Barna study just published about 2 weeks ago, and Barna is comparing the baby buster generation, those in the 20s and 30s, to the baby boomers, those in their 40s and 50s, and he's finding that those that are part of the baby buster generation are twice as likely to have viewed sexually explicit movies or videos, 2.5 times more likely to report having had a sexual encounter outside of marriage, and 3 times more likely to have viewed sexually graphic content online. Dave, we are in a rapidly changing world. For the most part, we got a lot of people out there who wonder what happened. They're taken up by this culture, and it's not a pretty sight. If you extrapolate the present trends into the future, folks, you're going to see an expansion of immorality We talked a little bit. I think there was a reference to the children who were the bastards. And, you know, that word used to be offensive. It used to be shameful. But the whole point of that particular story was that it's not really shameful anymore. And if you even imply that it's shameful, sometimes by even using the word bastard, you could be in trouble, Dave.
You'd be called a hurtful person if you were to call some child who didn't get to choose his parents. Because he didn't get to choose their parents and you were to refer to him as a bastard, that would be hurtful and hateful language.
Yeah, but it's what it used to be was grieving language. See, that, and that's the interesting twist on that little word. This used to be grieving language. It used to be shameful, grieving for the child, shameful for the parents. But today we're beyond shame. Dave, is there such a thing as shame? Is anybody shamed? Is anybody ashamed of the fact that 37% of children are born bastards out of wedlock? Is anybody ashamed of that? Are there three or four people left in the world? Bill Clinton's not ashamed of that.
No. No, Bill Clinton is actually proud of that. He's a regular American.
Yeah, and I think, you know, probably more than anything else that Bill Clinton was able to do during his administration was to abolish the whole concept of shame. He was not shameful. He stood proud, Dave. He was a proud man of all of his sexual exploits. He wasn't ashamed of it. He stood up strong and proud, and the media backed him up. The media backed him up for it. And I don't know what the Christian church did. I don't know. But as shame exists anymore, as shame disappears, my friends, you're going to continue to see the degradation of morality within the family. What about euthanasia, Dave? I mean, was that a far cry? Are we off on that one?
No, I don't think we are at all. In fact, I think it's going to become economically necessary.
Yeah. And I tell you, at that point, it's going to be absolutely essential for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and say, we're not going to stand for this. We will take care of the widow and orphan. We'll take care of them. If the world's going to kill them, we'll take care of them. That's what the Church has done with this issue of abortion, Dave. And the Church is going to be called on the carpet to make sure that they take a stand for a life position and protecting those people that will be threatened by euthanasia in the next generation or two.
And that might not be enough. There has been a case in last year where parents were willing to take care of their daughter, and yet they were unable to save her from the basically salivating court. Couldn't wait to kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're seeing, I think, is a growth of two things side by side, my friends, and that is anarchy and tyranny. Typically, when you won't be governed by God, you'll have the individual acting anarchically, and you'll have the society acting tyrannically. So you're going to have the growth of big government and the growth of immorality at the same time. Remember what Ben Franklin said, one of the founding fathers of this nation signed the Declaration of Independence of this nation. Ben Franklin said, either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. That is, what he's saying is either you'll be a moral people governed by the Ten Commandments of God, controlled by the law of God in your own self-government, or you will have tyranny. So the more immorality you have on a personal, individual level, the more tyranny you're going to have from big government. And Dave, I think we can only expect more big government, more abolition of human rights, more abolition of the right to life, more taxation, more big government, and more of these judges who are doing weird things, reinterpreting the Constitution to their own benefit. I think we gave the example of the dyslexic judge in the previous segment.
And the thing is, though, if you feel ashamed about those things today, in the future you won't. You won't be ashamed. And that's part of the job of the church here, though, is to proclaim the law of God so that the light of God's law shines into the darkness. And those who don't like the light will run to the darkness. But, you know, other than that, there will be no shame. There won't be coming shame from the late-night comedians, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you're going to see some geopolitical changes as well, my friends. And I think one of the most inevitable things that is going to occur is the increase of the Muslim threat. Obviously, they've become more violent and more engaged in the geopolitical wars of the nations. That has happened. Okay, I'm not out on a limb here on this one. But the Muslims are growing, and they're going to grow in power and influence, especially in Europe. We had that story, remember, where Christians were outlawed, but so were homosexuals out in Europe. So I think we're going to expect this sort of thing. And it's amazing, Dave. The Muslims are finally taking over Europe after, what, 1,400 years since they've been trying? Remember, they tried to take Europe during the 1300s and 1400s and failed at the gates of Geneva and a few other spots. But, you know, now they finally gained control of Europe. And just like Rome, they couldn't do it militarily because Rome was so powerful militarily. But Rome corrupted itself from the inside, and the same thing is happening in Europe. What we have in Europe is a rotted out, raw humanism or existentialism where people have been living for themselves, and they have no generational vision out in Europe, and they have hardly any here in America either, because humanism effectively rots out cultures and destroys it eventually. And so I think what you got in Europe is the same thing you had in Rome, where eventually it was so rotted out they had no desire for to live and to carry on their culture for the future. And what you're going to see with Europe is the same thing. The hordes came down into Rome. The Muslims are coming up into Europe. The same thing happening there. And the end result, I think, is going to be a conflict of worldviews, similar to what we have today. But the worldviews that are will be in conflict will be Christians and Muslims, and maybe a little slice of humanism still in the next 50 to 60 years.
Well, I think humanism still has its foothold into the universities. The longer you stay in a college town, or the greater your degree is, the more letters after your name, the more of a humanist you are. And because those people tend to be very influential and powerful in European societies and governments, and even in America here, I think humanism is not dead yet. I think it will continue to battle with Islam against Christianity, but they will battle each other, too. There'll be a kind of a melee.
Kind of a three-way thing, yeah. Folks, the battle of the worldviews engaged even now in our time, but we're extrapolating into the future and trying to analyze some future trends on this issue of generations. And now, Dave, what's more important, and I want to really get to this right now before we wrap up the program, and that is, what do we as families need to do about this hurricane, this tornado? And, folks, if you're ever in a tornado, what do you do? Two things. The first thing you do is you go find some protection, and secondly, you hang on for dear life, okay? And that's what I'm going to recommend in this fast-changing, brave new world before us right now. Find some protection and hang on for dear life, because we are in a tornado of change in the modern world. And Dave, you know, my father did something that I think was very significant back in 1969. He went out to the mission field. He homeschooled us out in the mission field, and I asked my dad 2 to 3 years ago, he's out to visit us and our homeschool out here in Elbert, Colorado. I asked my dad, why did you go to the mission field back in the 1960s? My dad said, you know, I was teaching in American public schools in the 1950s and American private Christian schools in the 1960s, and I came to the decision in 1969 that I did not want to raise my children in this culture. Now, he said, I wanted to preach the gospel to the Japanese. That was an important value to him. But what was even more important, Dave, was his own family. My dad knew that there was something wrong. He could see the fast-changing world developing in the 1960s and the kind of damage it was bringing. It was going to rip families apart, and it was going to ruin the way people thought about themselves and change their worldview from a basically biblical worldview where there were creatures of God to this idea that there were cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance and they were just highly evolved forms of primordial slime. My dad knew that that worldview was going to infect people. And so he did the only thing he knew what to do. He took us out to an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He raised us out there. And Dave, I'm not telling people today to do that. That's radical. And my dad did it. I praise God that he did it. And Dave, here's the thing. My dad didn't just protect us. He prepared us. He taught us God's word on that island. We were sitting on tatami mats in these houses made largely of mud and brick. And we were in these homes. And my dad was teaching us God's word day in and day out as he raised us. And he prepared us to make an impact on the culture around us. I'm not saying that the protection is just to completely isolate ourselves from the culture. But boy, is that protection important for their children as we prepare them for the tornado? Dave, how radical should our protection be? I'm almost at the point now where, hey, this world is far more dangerous than it was in 1969. Compare the world. 1969 and 2007, we've got a brave new world today unlike we had back in the 1960s. Is protection as important today as it was back in 1969, or is it even more important?
Well, I think it's as important. I think the threat is greater. I think that sin travels now through the lines of the internet instantly.
And moms and dads, you are challenged today, I think, by the word of God to protect those children. Love your children. Understand, man, you've got a tornado coming down upon us in a fast-changing world that is going the wrong directions in many, many ways. You have an obligation before God to protect those children. What does Jesus say himself? He says, if you put a stumbling block before your children, that little child stumbles in some way, whether it be physically, emotionally, sexually, any other way, Dave, that little child stumbles. Jesus said it would be better for you, mom, dad, pastor, whoever you are, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Dave, the millstone treatment, that's tough. That's tough language on the part of Christ. Oh, I think it's time that we rebuild families and rebuild churches according to the ideal that God gives us in His Word. And Dave, let me end with this point. I mean, right now, the world is out of control. I mean, especially within the humanist worldview construct, the institutions that we are being raised in and being educated in today, we are really living in a world that is devoid very much of relationships and a biblical concept of truth. It is a lost and lonely world, big time. People don't understand what it is to have long-term relationships, close-knit marriages, and close-knit relationships between parents and children because we've lost the concept of relationships and we've lost the concept of truth. And Dave, if you have no relationships and you have no truth, that is, you are in a snowstorm in Antarctica and you have lost your lifeline to the tether to the building. You're just wandering around in this total absence of truth because we've got this worldview of relativeness that basically controls our institutions today. If you have no truth and no relationships, you have no basic biblical worldview, and you have a very little of a concept of relationships, you're going to be in big trouble as we go into the next generation or two. Ladies and gentlemen, let us encourage you to renew the concept of relationships and worldview, and that's what I try to do in my book on education. I think we ought to begin with our children, and I talk in my book on education about protecting your children and begin to establish a relationship with your children such that you can connect with them, teach them the character that is prescribed in the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. The fundamental foundation for the truth that you give your children in your education must be firmly built on a biblical worldview. These concepts are presented in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And I think that's the place to start. Start by bringing your heart back to your children and saying, it's time for me to take a vital interest in my children and ask the questions. What is a good education? What is a good training? What is a good raising? I'm not going to hand it over to the state anymore. I'm not giving it over to professionals. I'm taking personal responsibility for my own children and their education. At that point, Dave, I think you've got a turnaround happening in the hearts of parents, and that's why we beat on this drum again and again on this program. Get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, at my website, kevinswanson.com, and just click on store. That's kevinswanson.com, and click on store for your copy of Upgrade. You have been listening to Generations, and you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and neighbors all over the world listening to this program. We have at least 50 nations tuned into us because this program applies to anybody who is a human being and loves God and loves their children. Tune into this program at kevinswanson.com. Again, folks, please join us again next time, won't you, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.